If you would turn to Daniel, Old Testament, chapter 1. Today's message is From Testing to Transformation. Get that, Steve? Cool. We are going to deal with the whole chapter. And as I said to you last week, we're going to spend some time in Daniel. We're going to take a little break because Daniel is one of the prophets that God has used to bring enlightenment to us in preparing us for the last days. And we'll read the whole chapter and then we will center on one particular verse. Amen? And in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put it in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter into the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he named Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? And the king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then compare our appearance with that of the other young men who eat the royal food, and treat the servants in accordance with what you say." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men who ate at the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them to the chief officials, presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so that they entered into the king's service. In every manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. We have to understand that through this, the key to Daniel and the key for us is found in verse 8, and it says, "But Daniel was determined not to defile himself." What is defilement? Defilement is any kind of contamination from outside influences to our spiritual lives. Okay? That's contamination. And right now, We are in the midst of a tremendous testing that God is bringing our way. And as Daniel is here, and as we will see, Daniel was setting the stage for this testing. Some of the historical things is that Daniel was between the ages of 17 and 20 when he was taken into captivity. He was part of the royal court. His family was part of the royal court. Daniel never returned from the captivity of Israel. He served as a prophet for the people of God, but he also served as a wise man for four kings, which we'll get to later. And because of this testing and because of his faithfulness, God gave him the insight to the end of ages and the coming of Messiah, his crucifixion, and the kingdom of God coming on the earth. But four things about undefilement, and it's important for us to pay attention here, that in our walk as believers in Jesus Christ, not make believers, but believers in Jesus Christ, Daniel points out four things that is imperative for us, especially in these days, because these days are becoming darker and more wickeder, and many are going to faint from the faith. Daniel had an unwavering faith in the sovereignty of God. He not only believed in God, he walked with God. And many of us believe in God, but not many of us are walking with him. We're told that the angels believe in God, and they tremble. They tremble at God. But mankind is not even smart enough to really realize how awesome and powerful God is. Daniel had a disciplined prayer life. Not only did he believe in God and walk with him, he spoke with him. And God wants to speak to his people, especially in these days, in order for us to be maneuvered by the Spirit of God to win as many souls as we possibly can. And I really appreciated the prayer that was prayed this morning about, you know, we're not going to worry about what's going on in our personal lives. We're going to come out of that, and we're going to be worried about what God wants done. That's the kind of people that God's looking for. Dangerous people. He's looking for people that are radical in their mindset and in their positioning. Daniel studied the Word of God and then lived it. And many of us today study the Word for an hour on Sunday, and then we live our lives as though it was ours to live, when the truth of it is that Daniel studied, he implemented the Word of God, he knew what God required of him, and he was not willing to compromise in his positioning. He endured all kinds of testing, and we will see this. And the reason why it's important is for us to understand that the things that are going to come and happen when we go back to chapter 8, we must be of the same mindset as Daniel. We must determine not to become defiled. Defiled in our thinking, defiled in our speech, defiled in our way we walk. We must determine that. And finally, Daniel understood spiritual warfare. We are now entering into a battle that I would say is the forefront of the skirmishes. We're now being attacked by all kinds of demons. We are experiencing all kinds of impediments to advancing the kingdom. And if I would tell you, like I have been telling the leaders and the intercessors of the stuff that's been going on, you would just say, what's it all, why is it so like this? What's the big deal? Let's just give up. We're not giving up. We're moving ahead. My Bible tells me the church of Jesus Christ shall prevail against the gates of hell. Shall prevail. And so we are not retreating. We just know we've entered into the fray. Amen? For us and those of us who crave deeper insight and understanding as to what God is going to do and how He's going to do that, it is imperative that we have these four things cemented into our lives. And I would say most of us are working in those areas, and that's great. But it is imperative that as the days become darker, that we shine all the brighter. Amen? And I have to say, I am so blessed in the testimonies of how God is working in your lives and how excited you are about Jesus Christ. But we need to take that excitement and translate it out to others. You know, Kimmy, I'm just so excited about what God is doing in your life. You may say, oh, I'm not real excited. But you know what? With every ounce of pain, we are being set free. You know, the shackles are being taken off. And guess what? That is ground that you're not going to give back anymore. You're taking ground. And God is well pleased in that, because that's what the army of God is about, taking ground. Not sitting there muttering about our problems and wishing that it would change. You can wish all you want. Until you become disciplined, you're still going to have what you have, because you have created that. And that's the truth. Daniel was set apart, and he was part of the captivity that was taken in 721 B.C., and he knew that Israel was going to be taken for 70 years in captivity. How did he know that? He knew it because the prophet Jeremiah had said that they were. And the reason why they were taken captive? Because they were great people? No. They violated the Sabbaths. You see, there's three Sabbaths that God had ordained for Israel. And that word nation is still with us today. The first Sabbath is honor God on the Sabbath. Not to do any work, but just focus on Him and enjoy fellowship with Him and His people. To praise Him and to glorify His name collectively in a celebratory way. There was the Sabbath of the land. Every 7 years, the land was to be set fallow for a whole year. Why? So that the land would regain its nourishment and be able to produce more. And the other Sabbath was the year of Jubilee, in which all debts were canceled. Prisoners who were made into slavery because they owed people stuff were set free. Their position of owing or bondage to someone was renounced. They were set free from their obligations and became free again. Of which, the reason why Israel was sent into captivity was because they violated the Sabbath of the land. They also violated the Sabbath of the year of Jubilee too. But God sent them away because they constantly had the land being produced upon year after year and year after year. And the funny thing about it is it started with King Saul. And 490 years later, they were taken captive for 70 years. And if you do the math, 7 divided into 490 is 70 years of which the land wanted to rest. There was nothing produced for 70 years in Israel. Nothing. You see, God's not joking around. We may not see the damage in our lifetime as to us being pretentious and thinking that we know better than God. But the fact of the matter is, eventually, God's judgment is going to come upon us. The Bible says judgment starts in the household of God, right? So it starts with us first. Eventually, it's going to be all them out there. And our job is to get ourselves right with God so that we shine. And Daniel determined in his heart that he was not going to be contaminated. He was put into captivity because of what his forefathers did. And if you look at his prayers, he identified in his prayers to God with his forefathers. So their sins. And so should we. We should identify ourselves with them because the sins of the fathers have passed down from second, third generations. But the blessings of God is to 1,000 generations. It's going to come. How it comes, we don't know. The violation was according to the scriptures, and I'll give you the scriptures. You can look at them out of Leviticus 25, verses 2 through 4, Leviticus 26, 27 through 35, 2 Chronicles 36, 15 through 21, Jeremiah 17, 20 through 27, and Ezekiel 20, 10 through 24. All speak about the Sabbath, all speak about the violations that has been perpetrated against what God had ordained. And unfortunately, we are running the same thing because we are not allowing a lot of our land in this nation to run fallow. And because we have based our lifestyles and our existence upon Judeo-Christian values and principles, America is suffering from that. The issues that we think we can escape this is insurmountable. We can't escape. We can just ride it out. But if we don't identify ourselves with those, you know, if we think we're ourselves better than them and that God has saved us, then we are woefully misguided. We need to grab a hold of them and bring them in. Amen? So as the king of Babylon, his custom was that every conquered people that he brought in and to assimilate them into his realm, he would change a lot of things. He would change their names. He would change their language. He would change what they had learned. And these are invaluable lessons for us that Daniel sets forth for us into understanding that we are in the world. We are not of the world. Do we understand that? Daniel was in Babylonian, but he was not a Babylonian. Right? You are not an American. You live in America. But you are kingdom people. And thereby, it doesn't matter what the world calls us. It doesn't matter what they say. What matters is who you are. Because they can't change who you are. Only God can. And only God will do that. Holy smokes, you got to be kidding me. What were the names? Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar, where Bel protects his life. His name in Daniel means God is my judge. Bel was the chief god of Babylonian. And so what was trying to be rectified was trying to keep in some sort of contemporized way, but God was continuing to rule in Daniel's life. Hananiah means God shows grace. And to Shadrach, it meant command of Abku, which was the moon god. Those people who are involved with this new vampire nonsense that's going around, was it moonlight, midnight, whatever it is? Okay, twilight. Have to understand that its roots are found in Babylonian theology. It is the worship of the moon, of which werewolves and vampires and all that other nonsense comes from that. Gothic origins come from that. Comes from the Druids and stuff. So it's important that you understand that these false gods are permeating into our society. Are we going to be defiled by them? Only you can make that decision. Mishael, whose name is God, who is like God to Meshach, or who is like Aku, who's like the moon god? Well, I'd rather have the sun god, S-O-N, than the moon. And Azariah means the Lord is my help to Abednego, or servant of Nebo. The Babylonians changed their names, their surroundings. They did everything that they could. The problem is, you know, when we came to Jesus Christ, nothing seemed to change, right? The fact of the matter is everything changed. Everything changed. We're in the world. We're not of it. Now, Daniel was pretty smart when the time of testing came, because the time of testing for all of us is a time of compromise. Okay? Hear me. It's real important that you understand this. A time of testing. When your boyfriend comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love you. Let's spend the night together." Time of testing. You going to compromise, or do you know what God says? "Oh, I just love this guy. I love him. I'll just keep emailing him until the cows come home. I just love this guy." Man, you know, my wife and I were having problems, and you know, I just got to talk to my female coworkers, because they'll help me understand, you know, how to deal with this. My husband, you know, he's just so busy working that, you know, I just need someone to talk to. I'll talk to my next door neighbor. He's home. Do you see the time of testing? Do you know what the Word of God says? Or are you going to be defiled? We can call ourselves a Christian. That's the easy part. Dan can call himself a Christian. I can call myself a Christian. Luke can call herself a Christian. How we act and behave and conduct ourselves is really who you are. You see, Daniel was a living sacrifice for God. He exhibited Romans 12:1. He presented himself as a living sacrifice. He was refusing the king's table. And I'll explain in a minute what that meant. But he was not going to become defiled by that. He was not going to conduct himself the same way, even if his refusal meant death. And Daniel used the wisdom of God to redirect what was pointed out to him in such a way that both parties were satisfied. You see, as Christians, we run this narrow line down our lives, and we say, "Oh, God says I can't do that. God says I can do this. God says that." God gave you a brain. He says if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally. Daniel asked. He wasn't refusing because he knew it was going to cause trouble. But what he did, he turned it around in such a way that, first of all, he knew that everything that he ate and everything he drank that came from the king's table was offered to pagan worship. Pagan worship. The meat that was offered to him was full of blood. The libations of their wine was mingled with blood, or just drank blood by the priest. And Daniel knows the Word of God. He knows the Word of God tells him what he can do and can't do. But he was not going to out and out say, "You know what, dudes? I can't do that." What he did was he set up a standard in such a way that he said, "Look, you guys go do this and give me this, and we'll make a comparison. And whoever's better in their appearances, you make the determination." You see, we're so fast as Christians to run it and blame God that we fail to understand that in order for us to grow in the things of God, in spiritual realities, we have to use our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove, test, be assured of what the will of God is, His good, perfect, and acceptable will." You see, when we don't utilize our minds for the things of the kingdom, when we just become legalistic in things, guess what? God gets the blame. And when we compromise ourselves, we are ridiculed, and rightly so. We need to utilize the wisdom of God in such a way that both parties win. We're not to embarrass the world because we want to win the world. But we're not going to become like the world thinking that we're going to win them. There has to be something different about you and me that draws them. And that drawing has to be the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of our lives. And that is using wisdom in such a way that when the test of compromise comes into our lives, they can see it and they can see how far we've been transformed. Right? And Daniel did this. 10 is the number of testing and trials in the Bible. 10. Everywhere you see 10 is either a trial or a test that comes. And not only was the trial coming for 10 days, but this had to go on for 3 more years. The trial, you know, for him to maintain himself. And we know, if you've read the book of Daniel, we know that people became jealous of him. That they tried to set traps for him. They threw him in the lion's den because he wouldn't worship the idol. They tried to get him cooked in the ovens because he wouldn't stop praying to God. Have to use wisdom. And understand that God is more than able to protect you if you do not compromise. Because when the moment you compromise, you're out of God's will. You are out of God's will. There are two tests in the test that I see with Daniel. First is the word test. Daniel knew the word and he knew what God had instructed him. And because he knew the word, he understood what he was dealing with. He understood that Leviticus 11 instructs him what is clean and unclean, what he can eat and what he can't eat. He understood that in Leviticus 17, 12 through 14, God instructed him not to be involved with anything that had blood, because in the blood is the life of thereof, and that is God's. Deuteronomy 12, 23 through 25, that the life is in the blood and not to drink it. Deuteronomy 14:21 instructs what can be eaten and what cannot. And verse 21 instructs us that anything that dies by itself is not to be eaten. So when I preach down to the hillbillies, I'm going to tell them, roadkill, you can't eat. You can't eat it. It dies. It's not killed and immediately cut and drained of the blood. What happens is the blood coagulates, it gels, and it stays in there. And all the poisons that's within the body is contained in there. And guess what? When you eat that, you become defiled. You have become contaminated in your body. And we understand that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is not yours. You've been bought with a price. That your body, soul, and spirit are God's. You are stewards of it, and you must protect it. You must protect the purity of this. Daniel also knew that the things he was not to drink. Numbers 6:3 says that to take a vow of the Nazarite, no strong drink or wine was to touch their lips. Judges 13:4, again, no strong wine or drink was to be drunk. Isaiah 28:7 reveals the conditions of all those who do imbibe. And Daniel was smart enough to understand that given to wine or strong drink, or that word means liquor, mixed drinks, that kind of stuff, could present a person who was in the king's service that he could tell secrets to an enemy. He could conduct himself improperly, thereby putting his life in peril. Or He could act or do things contrary to the king's wishes. What it does is it lowers your inhibition and clouds your senses as to what is right and what is wrong. The other test that he went through was the spirit test. Again, like I said, Daniel understood that the food was offered to idols. Everything, the food, the drink, everything was offered to idols. Today, modern idolatry is filled with evil spirits behind certain types of music. The lyrics are seductive. Even though the music may be itself pure, it is the words behind it that most of our young people don't understand that is being filtered through your ears into your spirit, contaminating you. I had a young man ask me, he says, is all Christian music good? I said, no. He says, is all secular music good? I said, no. You must discern what is good and what is bad because you need to protect your spirit. Music is very dangerous. It seduces our youth. Eventually, if we become contaminated, it will lead them into drug abuse. It will lead them into promiscuity. It will lead them into orgies, drunkenness, revelries, adulteries, fornications, on and on and on. You can look at Galatians 5. Talks about the works of the flesh. Movies are even worse. Why is movies worse? Because now you're penetrating your soul. The window, your eyes are the windows to your soul. And those images come in and they are embedded into your memory. Whether you remember them or not, they are there. Movies are geared to our youth to fixate on lust, rebellion, and immorality. They fix on rebellion. They fix on murder. Everything. I mean, I remember years ago when gangster rap came out and how bad it was. The lyrics, just listening to the lyrics about what they thought of women and how to treat women. And these guys were making millions of dollars. And people realized that it was bad news when they started killing each other in the rap industry. The images come so fast that when we're watching a movie and a nude scene comes in, it comes in so fast, we turn our eyes, but we can't turn away. That image is burnt in our souls. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can cover that and cleanse it, but the image is still there. Why is it important to apply the blood to our heads? Because this is how Satan uses it as a hook, that eventually you will not be taken in immediately. You say, oh, that was no big deal. Or we compromise in the scene or the language that's going on. But Satan is so smart that he will allow that to be an accumulative effect upon your life and your spirit. See this image, enough, 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 you will act upon it. You will. And what happens is because we're willing to act upon it, we don't want to know what God says. God is our friend. He wants to protect us. He wants to keep us from harm. And yet we're being seduced by the world thinking that it's okay. It is not okay. Don't you understand that you're killing yourself? You are killing your spirit, which is highly prized because when you got born again, God regenerated your spirit. Your spirit is more powerful than anything upon this earth. And yet we want to pollute it. We want to ensnare it again. Because we want what Satan puts, that forbidden fruit up there in front of us, and we eat it. Eventually what happens is we become so disenchanted because we hurt ourselves in making bad decisions that eventually we lash out on people that we love, and we don't even realize that we're poisoning the relationships that has caused the toxicity, because we're reading materials, we're looking at materials, we are acting upon materials that is poisonous to us. We are defiling our spirits and we are destroying our families because of it. But it's not my fault. It's not my fault just because I cussed you out. After all, you provoked me, Holly. But then you got to forgive me because, you know, after all, you're a Christian and so am I. Let's talk to Pastor about that. You know, Dan, my best bit is to character assassinate you in front of everybody, man. It's just awesome. But forgive me, you know, I just had a moment of weakness, you know. Because you see, if we ask for forgiveness and we don't have repentance, all that's telling me is that I'm willing to do it again at your expense. Repentance is required by God. Repentance is required by the Spirit of God because it holds us accountable to the contaminants of this world. And we must evacuate those contaminants from our spirit. Drugs. Pick your poison. From cigarettes to methamphetamines. It's killing you. In Babylonian times and even today, they use drugs. And we're going to see it in Revelation. The word for drug use is pharmakia, which we get pharmacy and pharmaceuticals from. They use drugs in order to put them into an induced state so that they can look into the spirit realm. The problem is they didn't know what spirit they were communicating with. And of course, familiar spirits, demons, would tell them whatever they wanted. And so shamans and soothsayers and magicians would use this in order to manipulate the king in his decisions. Now today we have the same thing going on in false religions, cults, in and out of Christendom. Look, if I just get high enough, God will give me that revelation. I am God. I have that revelation. I'm your God. Well, where'd that end up with those people that followed individuals like that? When you turn over your will to someone else, you're at the mercy of someone else. We must walk in truth. We must walk in love. We must walk in the understanding that the Spirit of God is with us, that the Word of God is there to educate us and protect us, to pass the test. That's the whole thing, is passing the test. At the end of this test that Daniel went through, they were examined, and they found that they were healthier, better looking. I guess I would. Maybe my hair would grow back. Nah, it was rain, acid rain. I believe that. You can smile. It was acid rain that burned my hair up. But understand that everything that we do has an effect on our lives. The things we watch, the things we listen to, the things we read. You know? And what I find is that Christians are compromising all day long. You can't have a healthy spiritual life if you build a life on compromise. You can't have a spiritual life that's healthy and vibrant if you're blaming everybody for your shortfalls. You can't. You can't be waiting for the next best-looking guy or gal to come in to make you feel like you're somebody of importance. God says you're important. He died on the cross for you. That's how important you are to Him. He finds value in you. He says that you're the apple of His eye. He sees everything that you're doing to yourself. And when we go into this binge of self-destruction, God's like, oh, man, I love them, but you know what? They got to go through this. There's no compromise. We must cultivate the same mindset as Daniel and have no compromise. We're not going to be defiled. We must become students of the Word. We must become walkers of the Word. Compromise is not an option for us. It's not the default option. Well, I don't want to do what God says, so I'll do this. Understand, sin is pleasurable for a season, and there's always consequences for it. It will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll cost you more than you wanted to pay. And when it leaves you off, it's not in a good place. It is not. On the other hand, if you walk with God and you utilize His wisdom, He'll make sure that you prosper. He'll make sure that your life and health is sound. He'll make sure that He retards the effects of our fallen nature. He promises that He Himself will dwell in us and work in us, to work through us, to bring us into the conformity of Jesus Christ, if we do what He tells us to do. See, it's predicated on your obedience and mine. What can we learn from this, from Daniel? That compromise is not an issue, and that we are in the world and not of it. We need to have strong convictions about the Word of God. We need to divine strength to resist what the spirit of this age is trying to put on our platter. We need to have strong biblical foundations and principles laid into our lives and start building according to the way God wants them done. We must, listen young people, we must resist the desire to be acceptable by our peers, because the pressure is too much. You are already accepted in the Beloved. He accepts you for who you are. He knows what you are. He knows who you are. And He loves you as you are. He just won't leave you as you are. Finally, it is important that those of us who have this strong conviction and have the four basic groups moved into our lives, and discipline is to raise up the prophetic voice of the church. The prophetic voice of the church is preaching Jesus Christ. That's what it tells me in Revelation. The voice of prophecy, or the spirit of prophecy, is Jesus. You can tell people exactly what's going to happen to them because God is going to speak to you about their lives. You're going to be manifesting the gifts as long as you don't allow fear to enter into your heart. Say what it is that God gave you. And let the people hear the truth. You have a unique opportunity to present the love of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ and invite people into His kingdom. All they need to do is repent. God will take care of everything. Daniel serves to us as an example of how we should live. Because in the end, if we live an uncompromised lifestyle, there is a grand transformation that happens in our lives. But in that transformation, hear me, God will place you in positions of power and influence that you never ever dreamed of. I don't believe Daniel dreamed where he was, but he was second or third in command behind the kings. And he served faithfully four kings. Nebuchadnezzar, right? Belshazzar, who was the one who took all the stuff and God wrote on the walls. Darius and Cyrus. Darius was the one who came from the Medes and destroyed the Babylonians. And Cyrus was his son who continued on. Think about it. Where you are today In 3 years, 4 years, 5 years from now, if you allow the training process without compromise, God is going to elevate you into positions of authority to influence people, not for yourself, but for His kingdom to be established and win the lost. That's why we're here, guys. And Daniel wants us to understand that this is utmost importance, that we come out of our parochial mindset of what the church is supposed to be and start acting like the church that God has created us to be. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You for Daniel, Lord God, that because of his faithfulness, God, You gave him the keys to the ends of the age. And God, as we look at Daniel, open up those keys to us. Open up the understanding. Help us to find, God, the wisdom in what You want to share with us, God, so that we can win our families, win our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, aunts, uncles to Jesus Christ, God. Help us to bring them to streams, God. Help us to bring them to a place where they can be loved and discipled, Lord God, and get their lives turned around in such a way that, Father, Your kingdom will grow and expand as their lives are becoming more and more like the kingdom of heaven. God, as we go forth this day, I ask, God, that You pour out blessings on Your people. I pray that Your word touch our hearts today, God, and that from that, God, we would say no more. No more compromise. We're going to do it the way God wants it done, and we're going to use it with His wisdom so that people can be one to Christ. I thank You, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.